Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Christian here with a quick note before we get on to this episode. We're trying something new out and would love your feedback on it. In addition to the long-form episodes that you've come to know and love, we're also experimenting with a shorter version that has highlights from the full episode. If you can give us some feedback on what you think about it by emailing me at christian@btbs.ca, that'd be terrific and we'd really appreciate it. Now, on to the episode. This is Christian Robillard, and you're listening to Beyond the Bake Sale, where we help you raise more time, talent, and treasure for the causes you care about. On this episode, I sat down with three young Black fundraisers, Adia Afanu, Camila Pereira, PhD, and Melissa Late, to talk about their experiences in the charitable sector. We covered a lot of ground on topics ranging from recruitment to retention to engagement to career planning and so much more. I highly recommend taking a listen to our extended conversation to get the full breadth of what we discussed. One of the highlights for me in our conversation right out of the gate was seemingly a no-brainer for the sector, but I think still needs to be said. And that's the importance of transparency in the charitable and nonprofit sector. What do I specifically mean by this? Well, here's Adia, Melissa, and Camila to share what they think is the importance of transparency in the sector.
Generally speaking, as a fundraiser working in a nonprofit, it is my duty actually to respect and to treat donors, volunteers, and my colleagues fairly. So then it's the role of the employer also to practice what we preach individually and to treat the entire teams equitably. So in any, like in the nonprofit workplace and in any workplace for that matter, I think there are unconscious and conscious bias that come to play in recruiting, in salary negotiations, in task allocations, or in recognizing specific individual contributions. So how transparency plays a role in maybe draining some of the energy of young leaders of color in the sector. One last thing that I would like to add is also that transparency also means facing our own shortcomings with honesty and rigorously. So recognizing that the organization or ourselves may have some work to do to develop like a truly transparent and inclusive and respectful culture.
It is really in everything that the organization does, right? And I think it's it makes it very fair on how you deal internally and externally. The expectations are known, the objectives, the goals. So I think it's definitely very, very important, and something that as a nonprofit and because of the type of work that we do, and our purpose, it should be embedded in our culture.
And similar to the transparency that donors want to see from charities, transparency is just important for cultivating trust. And so organizations being transparent from the get-go, from the recruitment process, really helps in cultivating that trust, which does a number of things. It can improve employee morale. It can lower job-related stress by knowing and being clear on what the expectations are of yourself, your team, and how it fits within the broader organizational goals, which can increase engagement and performance. So it's critical, I think, in having that, and it starts from the beginning.
So a couple of important things to note there. First one, whether you're in a management position or you're in a non-management position, it's important to either know or to outline what the expectations are of you and of the rest of your team. If we're not clear on expectations and of articulating those expectations, we are doing the young people who work with us and for us a disservice and not helping them in their careers. And they aren't able to grow in the same way as if they knew exactly what the expectations were of them. The second one, which I think all of us can be on board with, is how important being clear with compensation is and how harmful it can be if we're not. And The third thing that stood out for me was articulating where everyone's role fits. I think amongst all of us, we see a marked increase in how we feel fulfilled at work and how we're moving forward in our roles when we understand where they fit into the grand scheme of things. And that way we can also look to see where some of our work might go into the future. Now, another important topic area that we discussed is the importance of getting the right talent. And this isn't just specific to getting the right staff talent. I'm going to let Melissa and Adia explain a little bit more.
One of the barriers to recruitment starts from where you're putting your job postings and the groups that have access to that information so that they can apply. Ensuring that the postings are available to diverse groups through different associations, community groups, in addition to word of mouth. Because something I see frequently is a job posting goes out, it's shared within the organization, and they say, share it within your network. If your networks are quite homogenous, that's not a great way of increasing diversity. I think it needs to go beyond that, and it needs to be a thoughtful and deliberate process about, okay, where are we going to share this posting? How are we going to share it? And what are some strategies we're going to employ to ensure that we get a diverse pool of candidates? And in terms of barriers to retaining people from diverse communities, I think it doesn't stop from being when you're hired, it continues. And having access to internal mentors and sponsors, so people that you are comfortable going to if you have questions, if you need to learn how to navigate certain work cultures, because every office culture is different. And as much as you probe for these things in the interview process, you really only understand and learn what culture you're a part of once you join the team. So having internal champions and role models and people that truly mentor you and then sponsor you by saying, hey, I think Adia should have an opportunity to lead this project, really helps with creating that autonomy and that confidence to do work and to be visible and to have opportunities for promotions, which are essential for retaining talent, because you don't want to feel invisible. You want to feel like you're contributing, which is why many of us are in the charitable sector and want to serve. So having the ability to serve and to be recognized for that work.
And when the conversation stems from that source of, okay, what is our mandate, what we want to accomplish, and who are the resources that we need to actually make that, then everything trickles down to better recruiting decisions, better human resources management, better resources allocations for the project as a whole, and also better fundraising decisions, because we're going to go to more diverse communities because we have identified as these communities as key to us accomplishing our goals. But if we're approaching the problem as to, okay, this is what we want to do and we're going to do it our own way, no matter what other people say and who have a stake in the issue or the cause itself, then it's a problem.
So from that, three big takeaways for me are where the posting goes matters to attracting the best talent. If you're not putting your posting in places that will be in front of the individuals that you would like to attract in terms of candidates or even candidates that you could see growing into a particular role, then you're missing out on a huge pool of individuals and really limiting the type of people who are coming to work with your organization and through it in a meaningful way. The second one is that it's not just about sharing with your network, your immediate network, but it's really trying to get past that. So any type of activities you can do to get past your immediate circle, whether it's encouraging friends of friends or supporters of the organization to share with certain individuals or even with other organizations, anything that you can do to break out of your bubble as an organization and expand your reach even further and be intentional about where you're expanding that reach is so important. And the final thing is really about it's not just about recruiting staff, but also stakeholders and supporters. And if you don't have a culture and a process and just a team that's willing to reach out to those various stakeholders and supporters and create a welcoming space for them, then you're going to lose out on massive opportunities. Now, we've talked a lot about the recruitment side of getting the right people, and particularly young people, to be part of our organizations and our work. But what about retention? Well, Camila and Adia have some interesting thoughts about this.
If you don't have proper mentorship, you don't have proper opportunities, usually you stay for a while where you gain a little bit more skills and then you would move on. And usually that move is not a lateral move. It's usually with a promotion, because sometimes that's the only way that you can advance in your career, which is most of the time, it's a loss for the organization, right? Because after a year and a half, you've been through a full cycle of fundraising that I usually call, right? So you've done that once, you're about to do it again, like the whole year of stewardship, proposals, grants, donor engagement, and then you leave the organization. You're taking with you also the knowledge, right, that you've built through that time, part of a chunk of that knowledge. So I think it's a huge loss for the organization. If there is actually a plan or something where you know what opportunities you can have, or that you are being mentored and learning new skills for another position. But what I see is that many times we don't know about that, or we don't feel that that's happening. And the only way that we can actually advance is if we move.
And sometimes you have also supervisors and the executive management team that seem to make decisions about like recruiting and job posting that come totally as a surprise for the rest of the staff and for the volunteers and for the beneficiaries of the organization. So that, I think, to me, is a little bit of bad. It's an example of bad leadership and bad human resources management. And I would say that in terms of recruiting and probably in terms of retaining, whenever the organization start the conversation with, okay, what is our mandate? What do we want to accomplish with this project or with the organization as a whole? And then the question becomes, okay, what do we need to accomplish to reach that goal? And inevitably, I guarantee you, the question will come out, okay, who are the people or who are the communities that we need to get close to, or that we need to recruit as volunteers or our staff to make sure that we actually reach our goal and have a lasting impact in the society? And when the conversation stems from that source of, okay, what is our mandate, what we want to accomplish, and who are the resources that we need to actually make that, then everything trickles down to better recruiting decisions, better human resources management, better resources allocations for the project as a whole, and also better fundraising decisions, because you're going to go to more diverse communities, because we have identified as these communities as key to us accomplishing our goals. But if we're approaching the problem as to, okay, this is what we want to do, and we're going to do it our own way, no matter what other people say and who have a stake in the issue or the cause itself, then it's a problem.
If what you just heard isn't proof enough about the importance of things like mentorship, sponsorship, and career planning in the workplace, especially for our young professionals, I don't know what is. If we're not looking inwards in as many contexts and situations as we can, I think we're really missing out. And that is an opportunity that we can't afford to miss out on. A final highlight I want to leave you with is one that Melissa and I talked about, and the broader group also brought up, around how important it is as young professionals, especially early in your career, around getting used to setting boundaries. I don't want to share too much. I want to let Melissa go on and share. Take a listen.
Early on in my career, when I was keen to take on more and develop and progress and take on progressively senior roles and get those promotions, essentially any opportunity that came my way or wherever I put up my hand, I took it. And so I was taking on more and more work that wasn't necessarily complementary, but I felt like I needed to do the work and take on more to show that I could do the work and I was worthy of a promotion, for example. And I think the only caution I have with that is that that quickly leads to burnout. And you can do many things, but the trade-off is you might not do many things very well. So being more selective and learning that when you take on more, that's also an opportunity to take off some things from your role. So learning to do that and to kind of negotiate that a bit with your boss or employer and say, okay, I can do this, but what if I focus on this, I can't do that. And having the confidence and knowing how to tactfully have those conversations versus just saying yes, 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 and taking on more without necessarily improving or having the ability to really thrive since you are burning the candle on both ends, for example.
We want to thank Adia, Camila, and Melissa for just sharing so much on not just this episode, but also on the extended version of this episode, and highly recommend you go check that out. Thank you to you three for educating me on so much around engaging and retaining young professionals, especially young Black professionals and young professionals of color in the sector. We need you. We want you. You are important. You have so much value to offer, and we have to do a better job of making sure that you feel welcome and that you have career paths that are meaningful and that are something that you are proud of and feel welcomed into. Hey everyone, it's Christian. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Bake Sale. But before we go, we're hoping you can help us out with something. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could take a minute and leave us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to Beyond the Bake Sale. It really means the world to us and help us reach others who might enjoy or benefit from listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us or want to connect over anything, please do visit our website at www.btbs.ca. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time.